All right. So we are back. Just one final session here before lunchtime, at least for those local. And then after lunchtime, we'll resume with a couple of more sessions. So happy to introduce in just a moment CS50's own Rongxin Liu, who's been with us for quite a few years now, focusing not only on all things production, but also on all things software development. Indeed, he's been heading our team this summer, focusing on AI and the introduction thereof into our class. So many of the tools with which you might be familiar, so many of the tools that you've used or will soon use, are all thanks to Rongxin and team. Welcome.
Thank you, David. So hi, my name is Rongxin. Today we are going to talk about some of the CS50's tools. We will mainly focus on Chat 50, Style 50, Submit 50, submit.csv.io, and Compare 50. And before we dive right into these two, and just want to get a sense of how many of you have already been using these tools, maybe one of them, a few of them. Chat 50, how many use Chat 50? Okay, quite a few. Good. All right, so yeah. So there's many other tools as well. If you want to visit cs50.readydocs.io, you will be able to see the details of how to use these two and the documentation, APIs, and all that's all available on this website as well. OK, first, let's go to Chat50. So Chat50 is essentially a command line tool for running automated tests on students' codes. So this tool is available for student and teacher. For student, when student run Chat50 on their code, they will be able to get immediate feedback. For example, on their CS50 code space, when they run this Chat50 on Tiedemann problem set, they will immediately get a feedback of whether their code compiled, whether they implement correctly or not according to the PSAT specification. They will immediately get that feedback. And the goal is so that when student running their code, right, they can see if their code is adhering the PSAT correctly or not. If not, they're going and correct accordingly. And this is how it looks like in the code space. And what's happening behind the scenes, though, when student running Chat50, behind the scenes, we push students' code to a remote GitHub repository. Everything CS50 tools are built on top of GitHub. So it pushes to students' remote repository called Me50. Every student within CS50 ecosystem will get a Me50 repo. And then we have an online cluster that pull the students' result and then run Chat50 as well, and then give back the result and then render it back to the student. We also have a web interface that shows students what they do right, what they do wrong. And students can even share this link with their teachers if they want to get more like human feedback, like why I'm doing this wrong, how I can interpret this, how I should improve my code or correct my code to pass Chat50. And of course, student could also run, or teacher could also run Chat50 locally by passing the local flag. And so that you don't need to always like be on CodeSpace in order to use Chat50. You can also use it in any supported like operating system, for example, on Linux, Mac. If on Windows, you will be able to run it within the Windows Linux system. So yeah, in summary, Chat50 provides you an automated way of testing your code. It also provides you a way to standardize test cases. You can also write your test case as well. For students, get immediate feedback, right? What they did, what their program did, and what their program should have done. And occasionally, in our CS50, Chat50 feedback, we will also provide some hints. If student doesn't pass a particular check, we might be able to like provide students some hints like, OK, maybe you forgot to run a number. Maybe your output format doesn't quite match what we are expecting. So that as a way to guide students through to finish their problem set, if you will. And just to summarize, everything's on GitHub. The GitHub repository also stores the checks, the actual Chat50 checks are stored on GitHub. And students' code also stores on GitHub. So every time students run a Chat50 check, their code will be committed to GitHub. You can see it as a way of like saving students' progress as well. Any questions so far with Chat50 before we move forward with how we can write the check? Any questions? Cool. All right, so this is a particular, so this is what a typical Chat50 command looks like. It always begins with Chat50, and then there's a thing called submission slug. So we call it a slug. This is, you can think of it as a unique identifier to a particular problem set. So for example, this slug represents the hello problem set for 2023 CS50X courses. And to break this down, the submission slug actually consists of like three parts. The first part is GitHub repository. So it locates where this particular chapter to check is stored and which branch it is located. And within the branch, it has a folder. So the way we structured it is, first, you have a GitHub repository that stores all your checks. For example, if you're going to create your own check, you will be able to create your own repository. You store all your checks within that repository. But then we also want to find a way to version them, maybe by year or on any criteria, right? So within CS50, we often use a branch way to version our checks. So for example, 2023, we have a branch called 2023/X, meaning all the Chat 50 checks within this particular branch belongs to the CS50X 2023. And then within that particular branch, we have multiple folders. And for this hello problem set, it's stored in a hello folder. And that actually stores the Chat 50 checks for this hello problem set for 2023X. And to break it further, a GitHub repository often refers to your username, which is CS50, and the repository. So in my case, my GitHub username is like Rongxin Liu. So I will have a Rongxin Liu / whatever repo that stores the Chat50 checks. It could be problems, it could be Chat50 check, it could be any other valid repository name that you could customize. So how could we actually go into write Chat50 checks? There's two files that really we are focusing here. One is the configuration file called .cs50.yaml file, and there's another file called __init__.py file. The YAML file is basically a human-readable configuration file. It allows you to specify what file are you trying to run the Chat50 checks on. For example, here, the syntax might look a little bit cryptic at first, but let me explain to you what it means. The exclamation mark exclude quote star quote means first we want to exclude everything. So let's say if students have a 50 file within their assignment folder, when you run Chat50, you don't want to collect all those 50 files and then run Chat50 on. So the first rule basically tells Chat50, first ignore everything. I don't want any of other like personal file within the submission process or the Chat50 process. The second line then says exclamation mark require hello.c. So this configuration file means I want to exclude all the file within the folder, but I only care about hello.c because for the hello problem set, we only want to run Chat50 on hello.c. And that's what this configuration file means. And this is actually, so within the __init.py file, this is where the actual logic of your Chat50 checks stays. The first, there's a decorator called Python decorator. That basically means the following Python function represent a Chat50 checks. So this decorator basically tells Chat50, if you see this function test one, it is a Chat50 checks. So if you don't know what Python decorator means at this moment, it's fine. Just remember that it marks a particular Python function to be a particular test, Python test. And this triple quote string, it's where students will be able to see. Like this is the name of your test case. So you can imagine we have maybe 12 tests for a particular problem set. And each of these string, the text within the string will be the description, if you will, for that particular test case. And then now comes to the actual logic here. And in summary, what this line is doing here, Chat50 first execute a program called hello program. It sends in Waddle and then check if there's an output Waddle as well. If there is, X is zero, like print out basically like X with X equals zero, meaning if the exit code is zero, that means this check run executed successfully, meaning student passed the check. That's the whole logic here. And there's many other more methods available on the csv.reader.io. So the first method, run the program. Second method, because hello program expect a command line input, like standard input. So we pass in this method called stdin, widow. We send widow in. So we will expect the program send base output like hello widow, right? So we check if the output has widow. If it has widow, print x equals zero. Output x equals zero. And that summarizes the actual checks of that test case. Any question on this part? Yes? I believe so. You can chain it. If your program like we have multiple prompts, you would do it, right? And this is just the method we provide. This is a valid Python function, so you can even add your own Python private helper function and use it within your test case logics. So it doesn't have to be only this line. You can have more condition statement or whatnot to customize your checks further. You can write very complicated checks. And in fact, if you don't want to use the check 50 built-in function, you can write your own test script and essentially have check 50 just execute your test script and as a way to run your checks. So you don't really like being limited by check 50. Check 50 is just a infrastructure or a specific way of like running test cases on our students' submission. Yeah. Any other question? So yeah, that's just a simple example. So each test case, you can also perform like check dependencies. What that means is you only run certain test cases only if a particular test case passed. For example, in the hello problem set, you don't really want to run those, does the program take widow input and then check if there's an output. If the program itself not able to compile, what's the point of performing the rest of the test case? So you will be able to do those dependency, check dependencies. And as I alluded to earlier, you can customize the help message. You could give student hints in the test case description, or you can just simply say you failed this test case, and then let student figure out what's happening behind the scenes. You can even include other Python packages within your check to let Check50 install those packages before running the checks. Check50 checks. And teachers often, if you adopt the CS50 curriculum, you don't need to write any of the Check50 checks because we already provided all the Check50 checks. You can simply just go use it. But oftentimes, you want to create your own Check50 check to suit your needs better, or you want to add more test case or remove some of the test case from our CS50 default Check50 checks. The best place you would want to go is to visit github.com/cs50/problems. That repository stores all of our Check50 checks. So you can take a look at it and how the checks are written and then customize to suit your needs. And the reader.doc has more extensive like documentation on what Check50 provides. Okay, next tool. It's called Style50. It used to be a command line tool. If some of you already know about it, use about it, it used to be a command line tool. But from this semester on, since we are using Codespace, Style50 now becomes a VS Code extension on Codespace. What it does is it provides visual feedback on students' code style. So let's say I have a Tiedemann file and I have some really funny formatting here, which is not a good code style. So students will be able to just click style 50 on the top right-hand corner. What it will happen is we will show them a diff window. It's basically a well-formatted code, well-formatted code should look like compared to students' code. And then visually, we tell them what changes you need to make. However, not all the students will understand deep window, even for a savvy programmer. Sometimes this just looks not very intuitive, right? Now with the AI tool we're trying to integrate, you could even have the duck debugger, AI duck debugger, to explain what's happening here in a written test back to you. So students will be able to know, okay, what's happening here, how I should adjust my code to match the desired code format. Of course, if the student don't want to do all of this, they can just click apply changes and it will just format their code according to our Style 50 guideline. The goal is just to encourage students to follow a consistent coding guideline. Not necessarily, I'm not saying like only the CSVP style is the way, right? You want students to maintain a consistent code style. Not only for readability's sake, it's like industry standard also, like when you're working for industry, you want to have a certain code style as well, right? Any question regarding to Style 50? Okay. Now, after student run Chat 50, Style 50, like they are confident that, okay, my problem is good to go. I want to submit. How should I do that? And to submit your problem, and for students to submit their assignment is to use another tool called Submit 50. It's a command line tool for submitting students' work. Underneath the hood, it's GitHub again. We are wrapping lots of Git commands just to simplify students' life, because Git could be confusing at first for a beginner. So we have these two basically, it's like a wrapper that automate all the Git commands for students, and some student will simply just run a similar command to Chat 50 to submit a particular problem set. For example, if a student wants to submit a problem set called Tiedemann, they can just run Submit 50 again with the submission slug, which is a unique identifier to that particular problem. And it will be, and they will be able to automatically submit their assignment. Of course, we have a friendly reminder, like keep in mind the course policy on academic honesty. So it's a way to ensure students only submitting their code. If they reply why or yes, then we will proceed with the submission process and submit to our grading system. And this is what it looks like on CFTP code space. Within the Tiedemann folder, they can just run submit 50 command and we'll be able to submit it. And again, underneath the hood, when students run submit 50, their assignment will be pushed to their Me50 repo under their username, right? And then each branch of the Me50 repo represents a particular problem set. So again, this is the way of us differentiating, like, okay, this branch is for Tiedemann, this branch is for Hello, as a way to store the problem set in one place, yet easy to navigate between different problem sets. And this is what a typical page look like. If student visit their GitHub Me50 repository, this is what they will see. And as you can see, the dropdown, there's a branch dropdown button here. It will just list all the problems that the student has submitted thus far. Any problem? Any question?
Rongxin, will Python code ever get Style 50 support for like grading their style?
Good question. So it's a question about Style 50. Will Python be supported by Style 50? Style 50 actually supports Python, C, HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. So underneath the hood is also running lots of like program language specific like linter or formatter, if you will. So yes, it is supported.
The Submit 50 academic honesty check, is that doing anything, or is that more of like a reminder?
It's more of a reminder. Okay. We trust students.
Gotcha.
So if they say yes, okay, yes. But more on that later, though.
Okay.
Any other question? Okay. So now you will be curious, as a teacher, now students submit their assignment, so what? How could I see student submission? How could I look at student submission? This is another web app comes into play. It's called submit.cs50.io. It's essentially another abstraction of GitHub. GitHub could be confusing even for students to navigate. So we built this web app to basically like simplify the interface, but also have some custom feature that it's suits teachers better. So briefly explain what happened. When students run Summit 50, the code gets pushed to GitHub. GitHub actually, we have a webhook notification. GitHub will trigger a webhook notification and send out a notification to our web app saying, oh, student, CS50 student submit a problem set. So what happened is our web app will just go into that particular student's repository, that particular problem set. We will check out their code. We will basically pull their code to our server and then run chat 50 on it, run style 50 on it, and then store the grading result to our system and then present back to student or teachers via submit.cf50.io. And as a teacher, so you will first want to create a course on this website. So if you visit this website, you would see this page. For example, to show you as a demo, right? So I create a course called Workshop. This is the CF50 course I'm teaching, Workshop 2023. I click Create, and then I will be greeted with this like course configuration page. There's a two sections of this page is really important, which is first invite link. So this is the link you will be sharing with your student because you want student to join your course. So with this invite link, you send out to your student via emails or any communication channel you want. And what students will see is, for example, I have a test account. I click on this invite link. This is what I'm seeing. I'm trying to join a course called Workshop 2023 taught by certain teachers, right? What happened is once I click join courses, I will be granting this particular teacher my Me50 repo. So by default, all the Me50 repository under the Me50 organization created by us is private. So we don't want students to see each other's code, right? But for teacher, for the purpose of grading, teachers should be able to see students' code. So what's happened is by clicking this join courses, you're granting access to this teacher. And then comes to Slug. OK, you have the course now. Student join your course. What assignment are you trying to collect? Again, back to this submission Slug concept. You could configure what assignment you're trying to collect. So in this particular example, this screenshot, I'm collecting Tiedemann only. So if the student submit any other problem set, it wouldn't be showing up on my page. But this particular Tiedemann problem set will be showing in my page. And of course, if your course have like teaching assistant, you want them to also see student submission, you could invite the assistant as well to join your course as a teacher. So for example, right, we have three students joined my courses, Patrick, Charlie, and Andrew. And they submitted the Tiedemann problem set. So in my teacher view, right, if I click submission, I will be able to see all the submission submitted, all the submission related to Tiedemann showing up on my page. And I can go into glance, okay, how well they do, and see if they pass the chat 50 checks. And I can even download their submission to run similarity check later. Any questions so far with submit.cf50.io? Yes? The source code of this site? Yes, it's open source. So if you go to github.com/cs50/submit.cs50.io, you will be able to see the source code. You can fork it and then host it on your own infrastructure, it's fine. Yeah.
So when they submit based on what's posted on like the CS50 AP website, for example, when they type in that submit 50 with everything,
yep.
It's gonna link to this as well.
Yes.
So they need to type in a different submit.
So, good question. So let's just go back a little bit. So here, right? So this is the what you're asking, right? Mm-hmm. So you could change it to like CF50/problem/AP or slash any other unique submission select. You can even use your own. So you could create a repository under your username and then put all your chat 50 checks in it. that will become your slugs. It's the username, repository, the branch, and the folder. You could put it here. And if student runs submit 50 using your submission slug, and then you specify that submission slug here, you will be able to see that submission. And one more thing, though. You don't need to be that specific, right? Because you don't want to type like 20 problem set, like 20 submission slug. What you would do is, if you want to collect all the CS50X problem set for this particular student, you just omit Tiedemann at the end. So if your submission slug looks like CS50/problems/2023/X, then you will collect everything belong to that branch, to all the problems. Yeah. Any other question? Okay. So finally, we have another tool called Compare 50. You were asking, does that academic honesty prompt do anything? Yeah, it doesn't do anything. So now, as a teacher, if I'm curious to see whether all my students really saying what they're saying, we can run Compare 50 across to see if there's some unusual similarity across the submissions. So it's a command line tool. So you will run a command. So let's say you have a folder containing all students' submission. And then within that folder, you run Compare 50 star, basically mean I want to run Compare 50 on all the submissions. And it will just run the cross comparison algorithm to compare all the documents with each other. And then it will render out a web page for you to visually see what's going on with your submission. This is what you will see. So it will just rank by similarity, so by the score, right? Like a 0 to 10. So first we have submission 1 and submission 3 has an unusual high similarity, like identical for whatever reason, right? But then you can also see how other submissions compare to each other. So on the right hand side, this is like a visual graph, shows you how this submission like clustered. So you can imagine if some student working in groups, so those groups should have some similarity between their code. And this particular group will have another kind of a similarity. So this kind of graph just like a visual way to tell you, okay, there's a multiple group have similarity. And it's also, you can adjust the slider on how you want the threshold be. Right now, similarity score 3 means as long as there's some similarity, it shows up in the graph. You want to narrow down that, right? So maybe you are interested in a very high similarity score, say A. So if you scroll to A, the graph will reduce to a certain few submission visually. But on the left side, we already like sorting for you. So you might immediately want to look at, okay, what's going on with submission 1 and submission 3. So if you click on it, you will see, okay, it's identical. Like it's based on structure, based on text, or it's based on the exact match. Now you would also be curious, what if you offer distribution code? Because a Hello World program, almost everyone will have identical code. Compare 50 actually take that into consideration. You can specify your distro code, and you will just exclude that and see what's going on. But generally speaking, for like a simple program, you expect to see lots of high similarity. But for a more complex program, you should not be expecting to see like high similarity. So this is a tool for teacher to find out if there's some unusual thing happen in their submission. So, yeah. Any problem with?
We have to have downloaded their files to our workspace or to our computer to be able to run Compare 50 on those files. I know at one point there was a teacher that had written a Polar script to go grab everything from a course.
Yeah.
Do you know if that still works or exists someplace that would be shareable?
So I see, okay, the question is there a way to grab submission in batch? Like, so again, underneath the hood is GitHub. So if you, whatever program interacting with submit.cs50.io is actually interacting with GitHub. So as long as the script works with GitHub API, you could be able to retrieve their submission. Like that, I did not use that Polar, but if I want to write a Polar, I would do that. But we also offer our own API. I mean, submit.cs50.io also offers some sets of API. If you are interested about that, you can email sysadmin. At cs50.harvard.edu, we would provide you. But yeah. Yes.
I think you might be referring to my script. It does still work.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. My name's Phil Bowman. It's called Multipolar.
Okay. Trying to just elaborate what the polar actually did, I suspect is because at the end of the day, it's students' repository on GitHub. So you want, because since you already have access to a student's repo, and also each course in CSVP, in submit.csvp.io is actually a team on GitHub. So if you have access to that team, you have access to all the team member in that team, and then you will be able to go into pull their GitHub like archive. Yeah. Any other questions? All right, so that concludes all the tools. Not all the tools, but some set of tools. We have more tools that didn't cover in this session, but we think that these five tools is essential to CS50's learning journey. If you want to know more about what other tools CS50 offer, you could visit, again, cs50.readthedocs.io. That's all, thank you. And
hey, Ron Chang.
Yes.
Will CS50 Lab be coming to Visual Studio Code?
Good question. We are still determining. So Bruce asked CS50 Lab. So we used to have a CS50 Lab web app, but since we moved the IDE to CodeSpace, we also wrote a CS50 Lab extension. We experimented it for a few weeks, but we still want to improve it before we really like roll it out. Especially with the AI thing going on, there's some adjustment we need to make. So, cool. Okay, thank you.